Thank you, Elder Allen, and Shabbat Shalom to everyone here. Let's come before Yahweh with humble hearts. Heavenly Father, Yahweh, we come to you once again on this blessed Sabbath day. We'd like to thank you for your mercy and your forgiveness and for the sacrifice that Yahshua made for us, Father Yahweh. And also we'd like to thank you for bringing us together to worship before you. We pray a blessing on this service, on the message, on the listening and the hearing. And we also pray a blessing on all those all around the world keeping your Sabbath, Father Yahweh, and those preparing their hearts and their minds also to keep Pentecost. So we thank you for opening our minds to your truth, Father Yahweh, that we may come to you and learn more of you so that we may share your truth also and that we may practice it, that we may gain that inheritance that you have promised us. So we thank you and we ask also, Father Yahweh, that you help those that are being afflicted right now in many different ways. Some of the brothers all around the world that we don't know about that are crying out to you, and those that are crying out to you, Father Yahweh, to learn more of your truth. We pray that we may be a help somehow, Father Yahweh. We thank you for all these things, and we ask you for these blessings in the name of your precious Son, Yahshua the Messiah. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'd like to welcome everyone once again, those joining us here, those that are listening to us on the internet. It's nice to see Brother Michael, as always, come from Chicago, Sister Loretta, Brother Donnie, we haven't seen him in a while, and also Brother Landis and Sister Millie. Some of us might not be at 100%, but we're still here. So praise Yahweh for that, you know. We always give thanks for that. I was thinking of a topic, and I couldn't come up with one, so I asked Deacon Randy, and he went ahead and he gave me a topic. And I'm going to be confident that the question I'll ask, everybody here has to know the answer to it. So I'll just go ahead. And I asked this to Brother Donnie. I put him on the spot earlier. Are Yahweh's festivals important, and do they apply to us? Brother Donnie said, of course they are. He said they have a literal and a spiritual significance. And do they apply to us? Yes. The more you keep them, the more we learn about Yahweh's love for us. So once again, happy Sabbath. And today is day 49 in the count to Pentecost. A lot of times we forget to keep on counting the days, and we just remember them on the Sabbath. Basically, I looked up the meaning to this word important. I know that we all know about things that are important to us, family, friends, worship. The meaning that it gives here, it says, strongly affecting the course of events and having or suggesting an air of authority or something that's authoritative. People of rank and authority or preeminence, they usually get big respect. We hold people, you know, to a certain degree, you know, when they're higher up, you know, especially when they're higher than us. Look at how presidents, they have escorts with sharpshooters to protect them as they travel in public. Like when Vice President Cheney came to visit Fulton, or I remember when Clinton came to Chicago and you can see the sharpshooters lined up on the street. They close the street. You know, you can see them with their guns. So we know these things, that people that are important, you know, they also are protected by Yahweh. And also the word festival, we see three meanings to this word in the scriptures according to the Strong's Concordance. Number 4960 is mishte, and by implication it means drinking, banquet, or a feast. And you can see the meaning to this in Genesis 21:8, where Abraham made a great feast when Isaac was weaned. Also, 22:82 is chag, a festival or victim, therefore solemn feast, feast day, sacrifice or solemnity. And then also number 41:50, these are all in the Hebrew, and that's moed, a fixed time or season. So we celebrate great accomplishments. You know, we also set up memorials for fallen heroes. I believe Monday is Memorial Day, so they're commemorating something there. And also, those of us in the faith, when we celebrate the Sabbath, We celebrate Yahweh's creation because it says in the scriptures that Yahweh created for 6 days and then he rested on the Sabbath. So we honor Yahweh when we do this, when we keep the Sabbath. And also, let's go to Leviticus chapter 23. Let's open in Leviticus 23. We'll see here that we know about Passover and unleavened bread, Pentecost, and tabernacles. Those are the three pilgrimage feasts, but also the Sabbath is a feast day, and we keep it that way. We get a day a week where we can rest, we can refresh ourselves, especially those who have servants. Starting in Leviticus 23, in verses 1 through 4, it says, Yahweh spoke again to Moses, saying, Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, Yahweh's appointed times, which you shall proclaim as holy convocations, my appointed times are these. For 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath of complete rest, a holy convocation. You shall not do any work. It is a Sabbath to Yahweh in all your dwellings. These are the appointed times of Yahweh, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at the times appointed. And then it goes ahead and lists the rest of the festivals. But when we keep the annual festivals, we use the new moons to dictate how we keep them and when we keep them. And when we keep the Sabbath, we use the sun. We use the sunset to dictate, you know, when we start to keep another Sabbath. So as you study the scriptures, as you learn more and more, then you learn the instructions on how to keep these days. Also, when you hear the phrase Rosh Chodesh Sameach, it's a Hebrew phrase, or you hear the phrase Chag Sameach, that means happy new moon or month, and also happy feast or happy festival. We know that great things happen during Yahweh's annual appointments. Take, for instance, in Acts chapter 2, and let it sink in that Acts chapter 2, the festival there is listed in Leviticus 23. So we can see that it has a foundation in the Old Testament, and also that this was after Yahshua ascended to the Father. So the question we ask when it comes to that is, the law was nailed to what? In Hebrews 8 and Hebrews 10, in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 8, and in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, it talks about Yahweh making a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And we're included in that covenant. So the scriptures that we study, they tell us that the law was written in our hearts. The law wasn't nailed to a tree, as some may say. The commandments of men were nailed to the tree. For instance, when Peter said he couldn't eat with a Gentile, he couldn't even fellowship with a Gentile in Acts chapter 10, this was a command that was given to him by the Jews, where they were told to keep apart because the Gentiles wouldn't eat clean food and they would touch unclean animals and so on, because they didn't know about, you know, the law of Yahweh, about these things, how we're supposed to abstain from the unclean things. So in a sense, that was one of the commands that was given to some Jews, like, you know, they had to wash their hands in a certain way, you know, before they ate. That was another command. Yahshua did away with those commandments. He didn't do away with Yahweh's commandments. He also didn't do away with the festivals either, as we'll see. Let's go back to Genesis. We'll look a little bit at some scriptures that talk to us about the new moons. In Genesis chapter 1, and verse 14, if you'd like to follow along, talks here that the visible crescent was given to declare the new moons and appointed festivals. It says here, Then Elohim said, Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, for moed, for appointed times, and for days and for years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. And also, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 there, if you read that verse, the apostle tells us that those that are outside the body have no say-so on how the sacred name people are to keep the festivals of Yahweh, among other things, on how we keep the Sabbath, types of food we eat, You know, so we don't impose our will on those outside because we take our cue from the scriptures. But if somebody doesn't know about the scriptures, how can they come to us and try to instruct us on these things? And so this is all that that scripture is saying. If the feasts are important, which they are, then the new moons which were given to us to tell us when to keep them are also important. And we can tell this from the seventh month. That festival there, the first new moon that we see is trumpets. And that's very important because that kind of tells us when we have to keep atonement and also tabernacles. So we don't always put a lot of emphasis on the new moons because there's only one that's a high day. And then the others, you know, we try our best to keep a lookout for them. We send each other emails to keep in touch or maybe a text message. Because some of us, we work, you know, while these things are going on. But there are people that, you know, get together and they have a little get together, read some scriptures and celebrate the new moons. And we know that Israel also did this. You can see that in 1 Samuel that the king had a feast on the new moon, you know. And so we know that the new moons are also important to us. The word for head is Rosh. It is the head of the month, similar to a firstborn who has preeminence. Every time we see that new moon, you know, every time, that's the head of the moon. That's like, you know, the one that tells us, you know, how to keep counting. And so we have about 29 or 30 days every so often, then we have a new moon and we continue this. The feast days are also prophetic. They give us insight into the mind of Yahweh. We know that the feast days have a lot to do with the harvest, and Yahweh wants the best of the produce, and we are the harvest. When some of us go shopping, like for instance, Brother Michael will go shopping, you know, to cook some Chinese, you always go for the best produce, don't you? I mean, you don't just pick anything and say, oh, okay, let me see that one looks good, you know. And those people that have a garden here, when you go out to pick, you also go for the best. You know, you might leave the others to the side. Maybe as they say in the scriptures, that when you're harvesting, leave some there for the poor, you know, so that they can come, and also for the animals, you know. Also, man wants the best for his wife and children. I mean, I can ask anybody here that's married, that has kids. They'll tell me that, you know, they want the best, you know. And so also in Leviticus 23, it says there that all the fat is Yahweh's. So we're not supposed to eat the fat, and yet that must be the best part because that's what Yahweh wants. And so that's what we try to give him. We try to give him our best when we come together to worship. When the brothers sing, they try to do their best. And even if they make mistakes, they just keep on going because it's a blessing to Yahweh. You know, and we're blessed by that. We're blessed by the talents. Also, when Yahweh made a promise to Israel, he promised them the best of the land. He promised them the land flowing with milk and honey. So we see that Yahweh cares for his people, and that when we get together for the Sabbath or the festivals, we can see Yahweh's plan working. If the feasts are not important, why did Yahweh call the Israelites out of Egypt? Didn't Moses say to King Pharaoh, we must go 3 days to journey to worship and sacrifice? Let us read about this in Exodus chapter 8. Just a couple of scriptures, verses 25 through 27. We don't see a lot of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob keeping the festivals, but we see the house of Israel keeping the festivals. But we know that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they did offer to Yahweh. They built an altar to him to worship him and give him the best also. Exodus 8, 25 to 27 reads, and Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, go sacrifice to your Elohim within the land. But Moses said, it is not right to do so, for we shall sacrifice to Yahweh our Elohim what is an abomination to the Egyptians. If we sacrifice what is an abomination to the Egyptian before their eyes, will they not stone us? We must go 3 days' journey in the wilderness and sacrifice to Yahweh our Elohim as he commands us. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to Yahweh, your Elohim, in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away. Make supplication for me. So some people, they often wonder, how come you all take a vacation and you go to the wilderness to keep a festival? I think because, see, Yahweh wants us to forget about everything else. All the trials, the tribulations of the world, our problems. So we can go with a clear mind when we worship Him. And this helps us out a lot because even some, we have trials during the feast, but being with the brothers, we all know that we all suffer. We can help one another. And so we see here that what Yahweh said, He's being specific. And we see that through the scripture that Yahweh wants to teach us lessons. He wants to teach us about Him, about what He wants for us. So He's specific, and also He's serious, and He means business. And Pharaoh found this out when, because of his stubbornness, not only he, but his people suffered. And ultimately, he and they lost their firstborn sons and beasts. Why is this? Because he tried to stop Yahweh's people from obeying Him and serving Him. So let's say, for instance, if you lose a job because you want to serve Yahweh, all Yahweh's going to do is help you find a better job, because He's not going to leave you. He's not going to put you in a situation where you can't even come to His feast. Or if He says don't come empty-handed, He's not going to put you in a situation where you come empty-handed. And then even if you do, you'll still get a blessing because you'll be there with Yahweh's people. So I usually say that I'd rather be sick and at the feast than be feeling good and be at home, not keeping the feast. So we know that Yahweh cares for His people. And also, when we suffer for righteousness' sake, not only are we protected, but it serves as a witness. Let's read from the Psalms. Let's go to Psalms 119:75. I thought about this psalm here when a brother was suffering from cancer. He was suffering terribly. He passed away, but he still never lost his zeal, even when he was weak and he knew that his time was coming. In Psalm 119, verse 75, it says there, I know, O Yahweh, that thy judgments are righteous, and that in faithfulness thou hast afflicted me. So Yahweh has His reasons. He gives us strength, you know, through some of the things that we suffer. Let's also go to 1 Peter. And we'll read there a couple of verses, a few verses in chapter 1 and also in chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll go from verses 3 to 9. It starts out, Blessed be the Elohim and Father of our Master Yahshua the Messiah, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be begotten again to a living hope through the resurrection of Yahshua the Messiah from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of Yahweh through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, that the proof of your faith, being much more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Yahshua Messiah. And though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not see Him now, but believe in Him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. So we have faith in Yahweh and we have faith in His word. And as it says here, none of us here have seen Yahshua the Messiah, at least not in the flesh. Maybe you had a vision or something. I can't say you haven't had that. But it says here that we don't see Him now, but yet we have faith. And Yahshua opened up the doors for us, the Gentiles, to come in to the promises. And so as we keep the festivals of Yahweh, we continue to learn about these things. Also, way back in Exodus in 5:3, I want to point out that Yahweh punishes the wicked, but you know, sometimes Yahweh's people have to suffer along with the wicked. Oh, you know, I had the wrong scripture there. I had Exodus 5:3. But anyway, when you read the account of the plagues, you'll see there that in the first three plagues, the Israelites had to go through these things. So Yahweh also had the Israelites to suffer a little bit, you know. And, you know, you can think what you like about why he did that. But, you know, he still spared them from the others. And maybe it was also to put shame in those magicians, because the first couple of ones, you know, they were imitating the same things. They were doing the same things. But after a while, they recognized, they said, hey, this is the finger of Yahweh doing this. They even told the Pharaoh, we can't do these things. And they were trying to counsel the Pharaoh, and he didn't want to listen. And so we saw what happened. Does the world comprehend Yahweh's plan for mankind? Not if they're throwing out the inspired instruction manual, the scriptures. If you read that article that Brother Jim just brought, you know, they're perverting things. You know, they're mixing animals and humans, you know, the genes and things like this together just to do a study. You know, we know how Yahweh hates these things. Is the world happy when repentance is preached? No. Do they even speak evil of those trying to do good? You know, some employers, I heard a lot of stories. I even went through them myself. You know, they get upset when you leave for a feast, you know, because that's time that they're losing when, you know, a lot of us, you know, I have to say that, you know, we're pretty good employees. I mean, we try our best. And sometimes when you have a good employee, you know, when you miss that person, that kind of puts you in a bind. But Yahweh says to go, so we go to the feast. You know, we also have questions posed to us, you know, as to why. Why do you keep these festivals? Or negative comments. Oh, you know, you all think you're better than everyone, you know. And so this lines up with what we just read in Peter. You know, it says that you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer people talking bad about you and things like this and saying that you're weird while you keep those festivals, you know. Or maybe you're just trying to be a Jew, you know. Let's go now to Leviticus 26. I was watching a program last night talking about the Hebrew letter Waw in Jacob's name, that it's only five times the name Jacob is written with a Waw in the name. But he was talking in that show about the sabbaticals, and I want to show Leviticus 26:34. A lot of us here, we don't keep up with the sabbaticals. I mean, we don't know exactly. And we haven't kept them per se like we keep the festivals of Yahweh, so we don't really comprehend them as well as we would like to. But there in Leviticus 26:34, it says, then the land will enjoy its Sabbaths all the days of the desolation while you are in your enemy's land. Then the land will rest and enjoy its Sabbaths. And we can go to 2 Chronicles, and I'll just explain this here after I read this scripture. In 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 15 through 21, it reads there, and Yahweh, the Elohim of their fathers, sent to them word again by his messengers, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they continually mocked the messengers of Elohim, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets, until the wrath of Yahweh arose against his people, until there was no remedy. Therefore he brought up against them the king of the Chaldeans, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion on young man or virgin, old man or infirm. He gave them all into his hand. And all the articles of the house of Elohim, great and small, and all the treasures of the house of Yahweh, and the treasures of the king and of his officers, he brought them all to Babylon. Then they burned the house of Elohim, and broke down the walls of Jerusalem, and burned all its fortified buildings with fire, and destroyed all its valuable articles. And those who had escaped from the sword he carried away to Babylon, and they were servants to him and to his sons until the rule of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of Yahweh by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed its Sabbaths. All the days of its desolation it kept Sabbath until 70 years were complete. The similarity that we see here is that the Jubilee is similar to Pentecost in that it comes in the 50th year. You count seven Sabbath, and then on the 50th day you have Pentecost. So you count 49 sabbaticals, and then on the next one you have the Jubilee year. I bring this up because we'll be observing Pentecost tomorrow. And also, the same way that we rest is the same way that the land has a rest for a whole year. And this has a tie into the festivals because you count from one atonement to the other when you want to keep the sabbaticals, you know? And so, how do we observe the sabbatical if we don't know when to observe the festivals? And how do we do these things if we don't know when the new moon is? How do we count? You know, how do we figure all this in to the equation when we want to serve Yahweh? That's the goal. The goal is to learn about Yahweh and to serve Him. So the only way that we can do this is by studying. And so Yahweh has called us. He gave us the big responsibility, similar to the Levites, to teach the people. And, you know, we have to learn before we can teach someone. So some of us learn better by examples. Some of us learn better by just reading the words, taking them literally and then applying them. And so we see the similarity there between the sabbatical and the jubilees, and also your weekly Sabbath, and also Pentecost. And I thought that was pretty neat when I read into this, you know. So I wanted to share that with you. Maybe that'll open up your mind on how you're keeping the festivals also, you know. Did the people and the land suffer for not keeping this time? We read here what happened to the Israelites here. And, you know, in our land, our people are suffering because the land doesn't produce like it should. The land doesn't produce because it's not getting the proper rest. And so, you know, you have those that will sell us manipulated food, which is mass produced just so they can profit. Because to some, you know, they just, I guess they can't stand that, you know, the farmer, I guess the farmer is a little more, you know, patient. You know, he can wait on the food, you know, but when you have companies, they're trying to make money. They're trying to find ways, you know, to make a profit. And so, you know, soon we might need to learn how to speak in sign language, because if some, when we offend them by telling them the truth, we're going to be guilty of hate speech. You know, you hear this more and more. And so, I mean, that's just the way times are nowadays, you know. The truth of Yahweh, it says in the Psalms that the truth of Yahweh is forever. And man, even as evil as they are, you can't stop the truth from getting to those who want to serve Yahweh. So keeping the feast days is like a reward for hard work. We suffer many trials, and when we meet Yahweh, we can relax, we can rejoice, and meet new and old faces. This is the great thing about Yahweh's feast. I mean, you might meet a person this feast, you see them 10 years down the road, you know, you start talking, oh, you remember that first festival you kept? Oh, it was great. It's nice to hear stories from the brothers, I mean, the memories that they have from their first feast, how those of us that have been keeping it for a while help them to enjoy the feast and to make it, you know, a nice memory where they said to themselves, you know what, I want to go back next year, and I want to go back next year and keep on keeping it. Because sometimes, you know, it's so easy to offend a brother, where on the opposite side, they might say, oh, I don't want to go with them people anymore. You know, those people, they're not nice, you know. So we don't want anybody saying that about us. You know, in one festival also, it was awesome to see how the sermons that were being given, they were lining up with the children's stories. I mean, you had the same thing being spoken. The man was giving a message, the ladies were teaching the kids, and it was the same message being given. So the kids were learning also, and I get a kick out of watching the kids, you know, because they have so much fun. You know, there's still a lot of things that they don't know. There's a lot of things that they don't suffer through. So they're just free, you know. And it's awesome to see that, so that when they grow older, you know, they also have stories that they can tell to others that are learning about Yahweh. We're told in Scripture that three times a year, all males are to appear before Yahweh. Let's go to Exodus 34, 23. You know, I just was talking to a co-worker the other day, and he was telling me how he was going to work Saturday and he was going to work Sunday to try to make extra money. And here I am, happy that I'm getting 2 days rest extra. You know, I mean, Exodus 34:23. It says, three times a year, all your males are to appear before the sovereign Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel. And also in verse 24, it says, for I will drive out nations before you and enlarge your borders. And no man shall covet your land when you go up three times a year to appear before Yahweh. So he takes the cares also about the things that we have at home that we want to be protected. Yahweh takes care of these things. I guess he puts a spirit of fear in the people so that they won't go near your property. In the Old Testament, we read a couple of scriptures of the children of Israel leaving Egypt to worship Yahweh and to keep a feast. Let's go to Revelation 12:14. It says here, and the two wings of the great evil eagle were given to the woman in order that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she was nourished for a time and times and a half of time from the presence of the serpent. So this scripture here is giving us insight into a prophecy of a latter time. But we also see that phrase here repeated in Exodus. And so we see that as the people will be protected, we see the same in Revelation. You know, in Exodus 19, you'll see the same phrase, that the woman was protected on two wings of a great eagle. And this is Yahweh's doing. You know, he takes us out into the wilderness so that we could be a separate people. We could be a special people to learn about him and what he wants us to do and how he wants us to do it. So now, you know, not only are the feast days important, but when and how to observe them is important now. Would we invite someone to a get-together and not tell them the place or time? I mean, you know, like when the brothers here, they have game night. I mean, we know where they live, but let's say, for instance, somebody that's new, they might want to invite them to come over. Oh, yeah, just come to my house. Well, where do you live? Oh, don't worry, you'll find it. You know, what time you want me to go? Just come anytime, even though, you know, I might not even be there. So this is what we see here. You know, Yahweh says, I want you to meet me at a certain time. So that's what we want to do. We want to meet him at a certain time. You know, and he gave us everything. For the most part, it's pretty plain. There's only certain scriptures that we really can't get a grasp on. And all we can say about that is that maybe it's not our time, or Yahweh doesn't want us to see everything, because he's greater than us. He's higher than us. You know, so, I mean, he's going to leave something there that's to us lacking, you know, and that's also great. You know, we can't mind that, you know, like when you want to surprise somebody, let's say you want to surprise somebody, you don't tell them all the details, you know, because you want it to be a surprise. So the kingdom for us is like a surprise. We don't know all the details, but what we do know is that it's great. And when we keep the festivals, this is what's going to be happening in the kingdom with Yahweh's people. So that's another reason. You know, I mean, they're prophetic, and we rehearse now, just like the brothers practice with the music, so that when we get to the kingdom, okay, we already know what we're doing. It's not something that's new to us. And as Elder Allen and Elder Don like to say, you know, how can we teach people about the feast if we never kept them ourselves? You know, this is not possible. unless you're real great at teaching theory and somebody can pick up on it. But I didn't know a lot of things about the feasts until I started keeping them myself, and I saw how great they were. And so every week we have the weekly Sabbath, which is also considered a feast. And then tomorrow we'll have another Sabbath, and we'll have Pentecost. So anybody out there listening, if you want to come on by, just come on down. For some of us, you know, it's tough to come up with the funds, and we have to make preparations. But it's also the same for the Sabbath. We prepare our hearts, we prepare our minds, we prepare our clothes, our food, so that everything goes smooth. We don't have to worry, oh, I have to do this, oh, you know, during the Sabbath. You know, this week, as is the case every Pentecost, we have the weekly Sabbath followed by the yearly Sabbath. So we have an extra day of rest. And on the annual Sabbath, Yahweh allows us to cook food, you know, all that we're going to eat, we can prepare that. And we can find that over in Exodus 12. Exodus 12, 16. This is the difference between the annual Sabbath and the weekly Sabbath. Maybe for some that are new, I know I had to explain this to a couple of people that were new. You know, what's the difference? What can I do? In Exodus 12, 16, it's talking to us about the first day of unleavened bread. But the first day of unleavened bread, of course, it's a high day, just like Pentecost also. And it says there, on the first day you shall have a holy assembly, and another holy assembly on the seventh day. No work at all shall be done on them, except what must be eaten by every person, that alone may be prepared by you. So he's making it easy on us, you know, so we can do that. For a long time, the feast days, among a lot of other commandments, you know, we were not keeping them because we didn't know about them. We weren't being taught about them. We saw there in Exodus that the people were keeping Passover, you know, and unleavened bread. But let's go over to Nehemiah chapter 8. And this is where they're reading from the book of the law. And, you know, the people here are sad because it says here that since the time of Joshua, the son of Nun, they were not keeping the feast. In Nehemiah 8:17, it says, "And the entire assembly of those who had returned from the captivity made tabernacles and lived in them. The sons of Israel had indeed not done so from the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, to that day. And there was great rejoicing. And he read from the book of the law daily from the first day to the last day. And they celebrated the feast 7 days. And on the eighth day there was a solemn assembly according to the ordinance." So here we see a restoration. Just like in our day and time, we're trying to restore a lot of truth that hasn't been taught. I guess you could say it was lost, but it was always in the scriptures. It was just that man forgot about these festivals for whatever reason. And the people were so sad, you know, when Ezra the priest began to read the law. But we read that it had been a long time since they had kept the feast. And we see, you know, the people got convicted that they neglected the words, you know, the instructions given to them. You know, and these instructions are given to us as well. So that's why you will hear these teachings of the importance of the feast, the importance of Yahweh's name, the importance of, you know, eating clean foods and so on. If you move over in the next chapter in Nehemiah 9, verse 13, we see Nehemiah, he's given us a rundown of Abraham and the things that were happening and how Yahweh was delivering the people and how he delivered Israel from Pharaoh. It says in chapter 9, verse 13 of Nehemiah, "Then thou didst come down on Mount Sinai and didst speak with them from heaven. Thou didst give them just ordinances and true laws, good statutes and commandments." So we see that the law was given on the third month. And so here's a great thing that was happening. The people were in Egypt. They were in bondage. They forgot about Yahweh. They forgot about the name. They forgot about the Sabbath. So Yahweh sent Moses to teach the people. And then we see in Acts chapter 2, we see that the Spirit was given. So this is a great thing. And today is the Sabbath before the feast. So we're all excited. You know, some brothers, they come from out of town to celebrate with us. That's a great thing, you know. You know, if you read also through all of chapter 9 there in Nehemiah, you see all the good things that happen. You see all the bad things that happen. You see the ugly, you know. You see how we forget, how we're rebellious against Yahweh. But in all this, you see Yahweh's faithfulness. Because when you read of the promises He made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Yahweh kept His end of the bargain. So let's go to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. I like these scriptures because they give us a message here of waking up. They tell us to wake up. To wake up from our slumber. Because we know that Yahweh never slumbers. He never sleeps. He's always keeping an eye on things. He knows everything that's going on. In Revelation chapter 3, this is to the assembly in Sardis. This is called a sleeping assembly. It says, to the angel of the assembly in Sardis write, he who has the seven spirits of Elohim and the seven stars says this, I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. It says, wake up, be watchful, and strengthen the things that remain, which were about to die. For I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my Elohim. Remember therefore what you have received and heard, and keep it, and repent. If therefore you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come upon you. But you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life. And I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies. So this is a message to us. Let us keep the laws of Yahweh that we can apply to our life. As I mentioned before in a previous sermon, there's a song on a CD that Brother Bannock had given me. There's a song on there that says, Yahweh is calling a people holy or set apart for His name. And He's calling us to do His will. This is the will of Yahweh, that we come before Him to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Just like He called the Israelites out of bondage and sin to worship in spirit and truth, He's doing the same with us and also the newer brothers as we share this truth. Let's go back to the book of Malachi in chapter 2. I want to read a verse there. It's specifically speaking to the priest there. But we know that Yahshua is our high priest, so I want to apply this verse to Yahshua the Messiah. In Malachi 2, verse 7, it says here, for the lips of a priest should preserve knowledge, and men should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of Yahweh of hosts. If you go over real quick to Matthew chapter 26, we'll see the high priest Yahshua. Look at what he says here in Matthew. He's telling the apostles to go and get things ready. The Messiah, verse 18, chapter 26 in Matthew. And he said, go into the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is at hand. I keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Yahshua had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. So this is the first festival. We got the Passover, and then we follow it up with unleavened bread. We see the Messiah right here. He's telling the apostles to get everything together. He's telling us, hey, get everything together. Get your heart and your minds prepared. Get your house in order. So we go to Yahshua the Messiah and we seek knowledge from his lips, because we know that Yahweh gave him words to speak. Also in John 7:14. John 7:14. I don't think we see Pentecost mentioned in the four evangels here. I can only guess that in John 5, maybe that was Pentecost because they go from Passover to Tabernacles. But in John 7, verse 14, it says here, "But when it was now the middle of the feast," speaking of Tabernacles, "Yahshua went up into the temple and began to teach." So he's keeping the festival, and at the same time, he's going up to teach the people. He's teaching them about Yahweh. So here we have the high priest teaching us. Also in John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, we see that Yahshua the Messiah was here talking to the Samaritan woman. And he tells her in verse 23 and 24, this is a message for us in our day and time. He says, "An hour is coming and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. Yahweh is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." So this is so that the Gentiles can partake of the promises, and then we don't have to go to Jerusalem to worship. We go to where Yahweh's name is placed. And one thing also that I noticed was you had the temple in Jerusalem, and the people went there to keep the festivals. But in other instances, you read about Yahshua and the apostles. They were going into the synagogues on the Sabbath day. So you had both things going on there. You know, you had the synagogue and you also had the temple. So you had both places where you can go to get knowledge about Yahweh. In John 15, 18 through 20, we see a message here that Yahshua was telling the disciples in John 15, 18 to 20. He starts out, "If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours also." So we see that Yahweh handed down the truth to Yahshua. Yahshua handed down to the apostles. The apostles handed down to us. They wrote all these things down in a book so that we can read of it and learn of it. It's not like way back in the days where we would have to go to the church and there's only one Bible there and everybody has to learn from that one. Now we can each have our own and we can each study it. And as is done in the Bible studies, we can bounce ideas off each other, ask each other questions, even when it's a certain scripture that might be easy for one brother to understand, another brother might have a tough time with it. So we can study this out and learn what is being said. In James 2, it says there that we're all sinners, and that if we fail in one command, we fail in keeping all the law. You know, it's almost like if we take a test and there's 10 questions, you might miss one, you might miss two, but the way James is explaining it, you failed the whole exam, even if you missed just one question. So if we're missing one area of the scriptures that we're able to keep, then we need to start trying to apply it to our life. Maybe, I know there's some like the Seventh-day Adventists, they only keep the Sabbath. They don't, a lot of them, they don't keep the festivals. And, you know, we've all here fellowshipped with some and talked to them, you know, about the importance of the feast. And there's certain teachings that they abide by that they feel they don't have to keep these festivals. But see, Yahweh is calling us out. So it's our duty, it's our conviction to try to spread the word to all the nations. We know the Apostle Paul, or Shaul, he had a job entrusted to him by the Messiah, just like Peter or Kepha did. We see Yahweh using Peter to convict many during Pentecost. And then at another time, we see Paul hurrying to keep Pentecost. And in another book in the Corinthians, he tells that assembly to keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread without malice and wickedness. This is all done after the Messiah ascended to the Father. So we have to ask ourselves, why are the apostles still doing this? You know, especially if we're being told that these things are not important to us, that we don't have to do them. We have to question ourselves. Why are they doing this? Why is it talking in Revelation about those that keep the commandments of Yahweh and the testimony of Yeshua, that they'll be blessed? Let's read in Acts chapter 20. I see in here, in the same chapter, we have the Apostle Paul. In one instance, he's hurrying to keep the Pentecost. But yet, in the same chapter, in another instance, in Acts 20, verses 6, and we read verses 16 also. In verse 6, it says there, "And we sailed from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came to them at Troas within 5 days, and there we stayed 7 days. So I asked myself, why are the apostles and brethren still keeping these days after the Messiah's death? Also in verse 16, "For Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus in order that he might not spend time in Asia, for he was hurrying to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost." So this was an important thing to the apostle here. You know, how could he preach to the brothers about the festivals if he's not keeping them himself? He was keeping these festivals even before he met Yahshua, because he was with the Sanhedrin there. So Yahweh said in Leviticus 23 that these are his feasts, which we are to proclaim at their appointed season. Yahshua and the apostles kept them, and the Israelites and prophets before them. Our duty is to follow Yahshua the Messiah and do as he told us. Let's read from Psalm 34. I like this psalm here. It's quoted in Peter, Psalm 34. And this is asking us a question in Psalm 34. I'll start in verse 11. It says, "Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of Yahweh, the reverence of Yahweh. Who is the man who desires life and loves length of days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of Yahweh are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of Yahweh is against evildoers, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and Yahweh hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Yahweh is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but Yahweh delivers him out of them all." So there we see that those of us that have our hearts and minds set on Yahweh, you're going to suffer. You're going to have a broken heart. But Yahweh is near us. When we cry to him, he hears us. You know, unlike the wicked, it says there that their memory will be cut off. So, when we circumcise our hearts, we learn more about Yahweh and his will. To obey is better than sacrifice. We reap what we sow. We learn obedience through suffering. We come to the feast to offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Yahweh loves a cheerful giver. Yahweh desires mercy and not sacrifice. Yahweh wants obedience and not sacrifice. Faith without works is dead. We are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. And Yahweh also says, "So you shall keep my statutes and my judgments, by which a man may live if he does them. I am Yahweh." And that's the meaning of a just man walking by faith. When you do what Yahweh says, he gives you life. He gives you long life. He blesses you. He blesses your family. He blesses the things that you do, as it said in Psalm 1. So I'll give a couple of reasons here, and then I will close with a closing scripture. When we come to the feast, matter of fact, when we come to worship Yahweh, we show our faith, and He increases our faith. As the Scripture says, the just shall live by faith. Yahweh made a covenant with us, so we keep our end of the covenant. We show our obedience to Yahweh. We rehearse for these festivals that are coming and that are going to be kept in the kingdom. We see what our forefathers went through, the experience, nothing like learning and teaching from experience. We come to the feast to rejoice. We come out of the world, as it says in Revelation 18:4. We come to fellowship. We get a spiritual high. We meet new brothers and sisters. We congregate. We're humbled. We humble ourselves. We see how weak we are. We see how great Yahweh is. We see how we make all these plans and sometimes they don't work. And yet in the end, Yahweh makes things work out for us the way that He wants them to work out. When we come to the feast, we come to serve. As Yahshua said, I come to serve and not be served. He says, we learn to be servants. When we serve Yahweh, Yahweh breaks our pride. And also, we learn to imitate our Messiah. We walk in Messiah's footsteps. So, for a closing scripture, if you want to read along, we'll go to Romans chapter 12. I'm going to read this from the... I have it here, but I want to read it from the Complete Jewish Bible. It reads there, I exhort you, therefore, brothers, in the view of Yahweh's mercies, to offer yourselves as a sacrifice, living and set apart for Yahweh. This will please Him. It is a logical temple worship for you. Amen and hallelujah.